The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into Let's Edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the show Frank LaBeouf, Ali Moreno and Shagger Hislop to reflect on the fact that Chelsea have booked a place in this year's Champions League final after beating Real Madrid 3-1 on aggregate, 2-0 at Stamford Bridge in the second leg. The goals coming from Timo Werner and Mason Mount. Craig, this was easy.
Now, if you just looked at that stat and picked out the top line and you hadn't watched the game and saw 67% possession for Real Madrid, you'd have thought, oh, maybe a little bit unlucky. No, not at all. I mean, not unlucky, lucky. Lucky that it was only 2-0.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, lots of possession, but very passive. Sideways, sideways, back the way, forward a little bit, sideways. Only injected a bit of life when it dropped at the feet of Karim Benzema in the first half when he got it out of his feet and whipped it, or he made a good run into the box. And it was a great run he made and Modric picked him out for a header. Two good saves from Edward Mendy. But this was a going over by a Chelsea side that are fighting for fourth now in the Premier League, right? That's the crux of the matter here. Yes, Thomas Tuchel's done a marvellous job in reorganising this Chelsea squad and they have got talent. But goodness me, this was a semi-final of a competition that this club thrive on.
Yeah.
This club have had so much success, Real Madrid, and yet they were so meek and so ponderous in their performance that the fact that Chelsea didn't beat them by four or maybe five goals was, honestly, that was the biggest surprise in the end.
Ali, when we looked ahead to this game, you were talking about the fact that Chelsea could get punished here because they didn't put Real Madrid to bed when they had the opportunity in the first leg. I think what took a lot of people by surprise was the fact that Real Madrid were as bad in the second leg as they were in Madrid.
I hate to correct you, Dan. They were not as bad today as they were in the first leg. They were worse today than they were in the first leg. Real Madrid today looked slow, predictable, a team without ideas, a team that didn't really know what the plan was out on the field. They sort of came across as that heavyweight champion, all heavyweight champion that is hung on for one too many fights. Well, this was the one too many fights. There was nothing today from Real Madrid that you may have thought this team was going to get back into the game. And even as Chelsea's wasting opportunities and chance after chance, and Mason Mount and Kai Havertz and whoever else had opportunities for Chelsea, I never really got the sense that Real Madrid was going to do anything in this match, certainly not offensively. When your playmakers are Militao running out of the back and Nacho running out of the back on the left-hand side, when Eden Hazard is just coming to the ball all the time, tapping the ball back and not wanting any part of the game in the offensive half, when your midfield three that is supposed to control the game, they're stretched all over the place and defensively they're all over the place and they're getting manhandled and run all over by N'Golo Kante. There was nothing today about Real Madrid that would have suggested this team was in any way deserving of going into the finals.
Frank, this didn't even have a feel of a Champions League semi-finals. It's only the celebrations that you saw from Chelsea players at the end that almost reminded you how big an occasion this was. Such the dominance from Chelsea and such the lack of effort from Real Madrid.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, you know, in the way that it was so much a deserving win. And even though I was not comfortable watching the game, because even if Ali is right when he said that Madrid was worse than the first leg, because Chelsea wasting opportunities to score, you know, I wasn't comfortable because, say, a guy like Benzema, and he had one chance, a big chance in the first half, can change the game. I think it's a relief for all the players at Chelsea after the game, but it's just a normal job that they did. because they were so dominant, as you said. They, for me, I think they went back to the dressing room and said, well, we did what they had to do. Mm. We put the high intensity when we had the ball. We had a fantastic man in the middle of the park, and his name is N'Golo Kante, and he brought the two goals that he scored. We were united. And like Madrid, we fought together, and we only deserve to be in the final. Now the job is done, but we are Chelsea. We know that City is favorite, but I'm sure we can do something in the final. But it's nice to be happy in the semi-final. But Chelsea is not a small club. What they want is to win. It's not to be the underdog, the runner-up. They want to win. So semi-final is just a step forward.
I don't think it's a stretch, Shaka. Frank mentioned him. N'Golo Kante, man of the match over both legs.
Yeah, without question for me, I thought N'Golo Kante was the difference between the two today yet again. I mean, winning the ball in midfield and then now that exchange of passes and the build-up to the first goal and then with the second. And little things, the clever little run he makes near post in the build-up to the second goal that clears the way for Pulisic to pick out Werner. Again, this is N'Golo Kante at his absolute best. 3 or 4 years ago, we were seeing he's the best defensive midfielder in world football. Now all of a sudden he's playing more advanced and equally effective in that advanced role. It really was a joy to see him play over these two legs.
What's Tuchel done, Craig? What's the blueprint here? What's the improvement that he has made particularly?
Structure. That system there and that graphic's probably been almost identical for every game that he's managed Chelsea. Mm. 3 at the back, 4 in midfield. 2 wider guys that play a little narrower and a striker that has got good movement in general. Now, his big call today was we talked about it. We were talking about Werner and Havertz. We didn't see Christian Pulisic being left out, but yeah, he was. And it didn't go down too well this side of the pond, as you could imagine, among people who just don't sometimes understand that players can't play all the time. But you can't criticise Thomas Tuchel. He made a decision. He said before the game, I'm making this decision because Kai Havertz has played some games recently. He gives us an alternative both defensively and offensively in the air because of his height. And he's a different player to Christian Pulisic. Pulisic is more of a player who likes to get the ball and run at you. Havertz is more of a player when he's on form, and we're starting to see a bit more of that, is that he can hold the ball up and bring others into play. So you can't criticise Tuchel for his team selection. He's winning, he's in the Champions League final. And the other big call that he made, I don't know, 3 games ago, maybe a bit more than that, was putting Azpilicueta back to right wing back.
Right.
Clearly he sees him as less offensive than Reece James, and he is. Not that you won't get anything from Azpilicueta going forward, but you won't get the natural flowing movement of a Reece James or, of course, Hudson-Odoi when he played out there, but he's so much more solid defensively. And that was a big call from Tuchel recently as well, which he stuck by. And so he's made good decisions and he's picking the same system every week, so whoever comes in knows which way they're playing. Somebody might have to correct me, but I don't remember a game that he's taken charge of at Chelsea where he's played anything other than this way. He may have changed it a little during a game,
right,
but when a team is selected, that's what he's done, and hence the amount of clean sheets that this team and this coach have had in his short time in charge.
Frank, are you surprised how much success he's brought to the club in such a short time?
I'm not because I've seen what he was capable of doing when he was at Paris. But the thing is, he didn't have the players following him. And that was a concern. And I'm pleased that guy is finally able to show his talent, what he did when he was in Dortmund. He has young players, but they followed him, they stuck to his ideas, they are very disciplined, they work all together, they don't complain when they don't play, and when they come on, they do what they have to do. It's what he brought. He brought the structure, he brought the discipline, and he gets all the talent that he needs. And I'm not surprised because I know the talent that he had. I saw him doing that when he was the coach at Dortmund, and he couldn't do in Paris because you have some stars, you have some players who didn't want to stick to his ideas. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they don't want to defend, and I don't want to name names, but we all know what I think about Paris Saint-Germain, and we see the difference. And what a revenge, being sacked from Paris like some years, some months ago, and being in the final of the Champions League with a young team, a team that Frank Lampard worked with, but Tuchel finished the job so precisely that that team is a machine.
But do you know what he did? Do you know he hasn't won anything yet, by the way, at Chelsea? But I mean, it's been way better than people would have expected. It's been fantastic, actually. Hats off to him. But do you know what he's done? Very well. He's figured out his squad super quick.
Yeah.
He had to, but I mean, he's done it brilliantly. If you remember, the first game he came in, Mason Mount didn't play. Oh, Mount's not going to, he doesn't like Mason Mount.
Yeah.
Right? Ben Chilwell didn't play. There was others who didn't play. Marcus Alonso played.
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi played wing back. Havertz played wide. Then he played in the middle of the park. Kurt Zouma played.
Yeah.
All these guys have played. And he quickly figured out, yeah, they're not bad, but which ones are the best? Now you know it's going to be Azpilicueta and Chilwell. Now you know Mason Mount is going to be in the team, and N'Golo Kante is going to be in the team. It's Christensen, it's Rudiger, and it's Thiago Silva. He gave almost all these guys an opportunity, and they did okay for him, but then he figured out what his best, almost what his best 11 was. And in doing that, still kept getting results domestically to keep them in the push to get in the top four, but utilised his whole squad, and he figured it out super quick by doing things that people didn't think he was going to do, by dropping players that were playing regular under Frank Lampard. You know, and Christian Pulisic wasn't getting a game to start with, and he was, oh, he doesn't like him either. Now, and he started playing, so I think what he's done is figured his squad out
right.
super quick, and I think he absolutely knows now pretty much what his best 11 is.
Frank?
Yeah, and to give the best example is who would have thought that Kurt Zouma could be on the bench? You know, when Tuchel came, you know, he put him on the bench, try Rudiger with Christensen, Thiago Silva was a little bit injured, but he figured it out very, very quickly that the three at the back will be Christensen, Thiago Silva and Rudiger. And nobody can say, well, it was a mistake to put Zouma on the bench. It's sad for him, but that's the reality. And the facts are, those three are monsters right now. And I don't know how many clean sheets. Of course, you have to add Mendy and the rest of the team. But those three, they do the job. And today, they were absolutely spot on. Mm. And that's because of the choices of Tuchel.
Meanwhile, Ali, would I be over the top in saying I think it could be quite a few seasons until we're talking about Real Madrid back in the semi-finals of a Champions League?
I don't think so, Dan. I think what you saw today is a team bowing out, that they simply do not have the players to compete at this elite level. And some people may say, well, they got to the semifinals. And yeah, maybe so. But even as they were trying to play today, as they were trying to compete, there was a real lack of athleticism. There was a real lack of liveliness to their legs. And I'm not even talking about the quality of the play or the passing or the decision making or the tactical approach. Just simply running, moving with some sort of fitness, with some sort of speed, with some sort of change of pace. We saw today how many times N'Golo Kante just ran past people with just a change of pace. One time Antonio Rudiger just took off from the center back position and he ran by the whole Real Madrid team and there was nobody to stop him. The element of speed in the game that is so very important now as it was maybe 15, 20 years ago, I have to tell you, Real Madrid is unable to keep up, and it's the same with Atletico Madrid, it's the same with Barcelona. We see this as symptomatic for La Liga, and I just see a Real Madrid team, as Zinedine Zidane was looking for an options down the bench, and there's nothing there. It's a team that he's kept together, and I've mentioned this in the past with duct tape, barely just kind of hanging on, and today you simply saw the end result of that. They haven't been able to physically recover from the Liverpool-Barcelona-Liverpool combo package that we mentioned in the past, and right now it's a team that simply cannot compete physically.
How would you sum up Eden Hazard today, Shank?
How would I what?
How would you sum him up?
a bit part player, and that's the amazing thing for me. Eden Hazard, given his struggles at Real Madrid, coming back to Stamford Bridge where he left, of course, you're asking for a big performance. And you would think he is more motivated for this game than any game we've seen him in a Real Madrid shirt. Picked the ball up a couple of times, ran a defense a couple of times. But outside of that, I'm struggling to remember anything he did that affected the game in any way, which again is amazing given that we were talking about a player who was arguably the best in his position and in the top five in the world a couple of years ago.
Are we using that video? No.
Well,
we can't use it, can we?
We can describe what the video is. It's Eden Hazard celebrating with Chelsea players after the game on the pitch.
Yeah, no, I can understand going up to ex-teammates and, you know, having a word. And if you're going to do that, particularly in the way he was laughing and joking and slapping and all that, you've just lost a Champions League semi-final, for God's sake, yeah, at one of the biggest clubs in the world and who have had a terrible two games against Chelsea. And you're at your old club and you're laughing and joking on the field. Save it for indoors. If you're going to do that, save it for away from the cameras so as people like us can't talk about it and supporters can't see it, because people are already saying, you know, this guy's just been a disaster. I mean, no wonder he's got no energy when he gets on the pitch. It takes him all his energy to fit into those shots. He's not fit.
Adding to that, let me just add to what Craig's saying. I mean, not just save it for indoors, but Sydney, I recall my playing days. When you lose a big game like that, listen, if you know the opponents, we've all been there where we've played against friends and won and lost. You smile, you shake your hands, you offer congratulations, and you move on. I really don't understand how, after a game of this magnitude, you are just that happy and jovial and bubbly. I don't remember ever feeling that way after I lost any game. Yep. And I've never played in a Champions League semi-final, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying do it in the players' lounge or wherever you go after a game these days. I'm saying, but if you are going to be up to that kind of antics and that's how you feel, because clearly it is, he's not particularly fussed, then at least do it away from prying eyes of cameras. If we wanted any evidence why Florentino Perez wanted the big cash from a Super League,
he's wasted all his money on Hazard.
It was this, because he's probably gone to Zinedine Zidane and said, what do we need? And he's probably told him,
yeah,
what we need to get back to where we were, this is what we need. And he's gone, we're building a stadium, we're in debt, so he knows. And I don't know where they're going to find the funding to revamp this ageing side, but it's going to be a hell of a task.
Ali, it's interesting because when I initially saw the picture, I thought it's been photoshopped. Someone, you know, has done that quickly because, of course, it's the internet. But no, it really is Eden Hazard in a Real Madrid jacket celebrating with the Chelsea players on the pitch with a camera right there.
it's so tone deaf and ignorant from Eden Hazard, unaware of what this competition means to the club that he's currently playing for, and unaware of the fact that he hasn't really been accepted by Real Madrid fans because they are waiting for him to be the player that he once was. And not once did we see Eden Hazard today taking a player on a 1v1 situation. Maybe a little bit of something on the right-hand side, a shot that Mendy ended up saving without much of an angle. And that was it. Yeah. There was nothing else. And so this is the moment in which, if you're a Real Madrid fan, hardcore Real Madrid fan, you see those images, you turn the page on Eden Hazard. There is no coming back for Eden Hazard from this sort of performance, followed by then the follow-up performance. The performance on the field, and then the smiling and laughing after you have lost a Champions League semifinal in the manner in which you lost it. No coming back from Eden Hazard. The fans of Real Madrid will not accept this. He will not be forgiven.
Frank?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to say that it's only Eden Hazard, because Eden Hazard, we lost Eden Hazard. I don't recognize Eden Hazard from Chelsea, and I don't know if we're going to see the Eden Hazard we used to see. But it's funny that nowadays the players they talk because they know they have cameras. They talk like that because they don't want us to read in their lips. And at the same time, and I've seen that so many times, what I realized, they don't realize that they wear a shirt, that it's important for the fans, the investment that the club put on them, and they joke and they tease each other at the end of the game laughing because, and they just lost the game. I mean, we look like four older former players who belong to another era where we had some, some duties when we were playing for our clubs, where we were unhappy when we lost. We were envious to the other club. We didn't like the other club. We had friends, but we didn't have friends when we were playing against them. That it was kind of a war every time we went on the field because we wanted to defend our colors. Mm. And that's not that anymore. That's not that. That's another sport. That's more business. They don't really care. It's getting individual. And I'm very sad. I don't like the football that I see and the footballer that I see anymore. But they don't care. They have the money, and they will say that I'm too old to understand,
Dan,
maybe.
One thing that I wanted to say, Dan, if there was ever a game in which Eden Hazard had a chance and an opportunity to become truly a Real Madrid player, this was it. And to the point that Frank just made, if indeed you have friends at Chelsea, I don't know what the mentality is currently of players, but wouldn't this be the game in which you really want to show something because it is your friends and the competition then boils up because you are really wanting to take this opportunity on? Instead, it's a disappearing act and it's, yeah, we lost, okay, it's great, it's fantastic, it doesn't really mean much to me. It's funny. Not funny. I don't care for it, and I don't care whether it's Justin Hazard or everybody else doing it. It's unacceptable.
It goes back to a period at Chelsea, a club which he had, for the most part, amazing success. Chelsea fans love him. But if you go back to, and this is a two-way street, but just to make a point on how he's performed in general at Real Madrid and how unreliable he's been, was Mourinho's tenure at Chelsea coming to an end. He was getting more frustrated and more frustrated with Eden Hazard as his talisman because he felt he was swinging the lead.
Right.
He felt that any little knock and he was going to come off and he'd be in the treatment table and that he would pick and choose. And if it suited him under certain manners at Chelsea, he turned it on and he's brilliant. Brilliant. He's not been able to do that at Real Madrid in the same sense, clearly, but he's able to do it at Chelsea. But when he was under Mourinho for a period, Mourinho, I think he even outed him at one point. He basically said, I just can't rely on the guy. He doesn't want to play for me anymore. And I think Zidane is finding that out to a certain extent, that he hasn't been fully committed to this club. He admitted it himself. He came back, was it 2 years ago or 18 months ago, to pre-season training. He said, I'm not fit.
Yeah.
I've not kept myself in good shape over the summer.
I let myself go.
I mean, that's the kind of thing players did 25 years ago, when all you did when you came back from pre-season was stand on a set of scales, you got your weight taken, and then that was it.
Yeah.
It's far more complicated now. It's so more, the sports science is so more superior now. You should not be coming back in that shape. And I think that was two fingers up to people to say, I've got my move now, got my big payday, and if I want to come back X amount of pounds overweight, then that's what I'll do. And hence why we're seeing a Eden Hazard, who's probably not even 50% of the player he was for the most part at Chelsea.
I imagine the backlash in Spain has been quite something over the next few days. Meanwhile, celebrations in London, and Thomas Tuchel really has impressed since taking over at Chelsea. Just take a look at the managers that he's beaten. Carlo Ancelotti, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Simeone, Mourinho, and now Zinedine Zidane.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
For what I'm sure will be the one and only time, let's talk about the Champions League final then. Manchester City favourites to win the title for the first time in the club's history. Chelsea, meanwhile, coming in at 7-4. Let's just take a look at the record between these two teams. Of course, met in the FA Cup. Chelsea, that 1-0 win at Wembley last month. Meanwhile, City beating Chelsea at Stamford Bridge 3-1 at the turn of the year. Craig, is it going to be a fun
fight? They're going to move it, aren't they? They're going to move it to England.
Well,
no, I'm not. I'm just saying that.
It would kind of make sense, wouldn't it? Like, why would you take two English teams to Istanbul in the middle of a pandemic when you could just have it at Wembley? What?
That would be common sense. Let's see if that actually happens.
Is it going to be a fun final?
Well, yeah, because I think City obviously are a little bit, are a lot bumped by their performance against Chelsea in the semi-final. And we were talking amongst the boys the other day who would City prefer. And I said Real Madrid, and I think we saw why they'd have preferred Real Madrid. Because if Real Madrid had somehow have snuck through in this game, I think City would have taken them apart. To take Chelsea apart is more difficult because of the reasons that we've talked about, is the structure that he's put in place, is that they have, for the most part, become really, really difficult to break down. They're super well organised, and they've got a bit of pace on the counter-attack as well, and they've got good ball possession. But I expect City to have learned from their poor performance in the FA Cup semi-final. And that's, well, that's one of the reasons why they're still favourites. But the second one is they've got a much better squad. It's whether they are as poor as they were at Wembley. And if they are, they could lose.
Frank, will it help or hinder Chelsea or indeed Manchester City? City will have the title wrapped up sooner rather than later. So when it comes to competitive matches, they won't have as many as Chelsea because Chelsea is still fighting for a top four place.
Right, but at the end of the day, it's a Champions League final. So what happens in the schedule, in the fixture, does not really matter. You really want to win that game. You're going to give all you have, in your heart, in your legs, to make sure you're going to win it. And City is a favorite. City will prepare that, and Guardiola will know how to handle it. But
who's phone
it's
is
a final,
that?
So it can be a surprise. It's not mine.
Whose phone is that? It's Ali, not mine. Ali, somebody must have a landline still. Ali, who's that?
That's a landline.
Yeah, who has a landline these days?
Well, me, and the instructions that I gave was if the phone rang, to pick it up quickly. Obviously, nobody listens to me in this house.
No, not at all. Frank, let's go back to the point that you were making. I wasn't really listening.
Oh yeah. I think City is a favorite, and I think it's going to be a tricky game for Chelsea to win. But it's possible because it's a final, and it doesn't really matter the fixture that both clubs have. You're going to give 100% of yourself, really to die on the field to win something. City is desperate to win that Champions League because they've been looking for it for more than a decade. Chelsea won it against Bayern Munich away from home, not being the favorite, and being the underdog maybe suit them. So I think it's not going to be an open game. it's especially because it's against two English clubs, and it reminds me Liverpool against Tottenham at the Madrid Stadium, where it wasn't a fancy game. It was tight. They know each other very well. So it's going to be, you know, maybe a detail will make the difference, which make the difference, sorry.
Xhaka, how much do you wish you had Ali's landline number right about now?
I'm just happy somebody else getting, everybody's looking at somebody else, that's the strange noises in the background. Thanks for bailing me out, Ali.
Frank brought it up. Chelsea come into this game as underdogs. They've won the Champions League before. We know this is the holy grail for Manchester City. Pep Guardiola looking to win it without Lionel Messi for the first time, etc. and so on. How does that influence, if it does, either of these sides going into the game?
I think it's a far bigger game for Manchester City for all those reasons. Right now, Chelsea and Thomas Tuchel play with house money. Given where he came in, he inherited a Chelsea team. I know I'm exaggerating a little here. A Chelsea team that were languishing in mid-table. And now they're sitting in top four, already through to one domestic final, now through to a European final. Anything they get from here on in, I think, exceeds all expectation. When the expectation around City was to win this title, and they haven't, I think that plays a part. And to your previous question, given the season that we've had and all these teams have had to endure, I think it serves City better to have this title wrapped up, not playing competitive football. Guardiola can rest and give players a run out just to keep them as fresh as they need to be without any real expectation or need to play players. So that for me, works in their favour a whole lot better.
Ali?
Look, I just think Manchester City, the only way that they lose this game is that they overlook Chelsea. And I don't think that's possible, because you just lost to this team in the FA Cup semifinal. So that's all the attention you needed to get, is that this team has proven that they can beat you. And so therefore, you're going to need to be at your very best in order to be superior to Chelsea. Now, the possession's got to be quicker. The purpose of that possession has to be there. They have to find those movement on and off the ball, those sort of threatening runs into the box, because obviously they're not going to play with a striker. And so Phil Foden's role is going to be important. Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be important. Riyad Mahrez has to have the sort of performance that he had against PSG. The names are there for Manchester City. The mentality seems to be there as well. Now there's got to be a sense of belief that, you know what, whatever Chelsea did to us in the FA Cup semifinal, we have learned from it. We're going to be a better team, and we're not going to be denied something that it should be ours, and it's a Champions League final. They should be the winners of this tournament.
Well, it just so happens that these two teams will face off on Saturday in the Premier League. Manchester City go into the tie as favourites. They win it, and they are champions of England. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester United will have 7 games in just 20 days after that rearranged Liverpool match was confirmed to take place on May the 13th. That's, of course, given that they make it to the Europa League final, which they will, 6-2 up against Roma. Harder to call, meanwhile, Villarreal taking on Arsenal. Villarreal are favourites, according to the bookies, to advance. Remember, they take a 2-1 lead to North London. We asked our boys who is going to advance. Craig, you said 1-0.
1-0 does it for them, takes them through on the away goal.
Thank you very much for that. Saka has gone for 2-0. Frank's gone for 3-1. Meanwhile, Ali, the only one saying Villarreal will go through. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Craig with us, Shaq and Frank back as well to answer your tweets on Extra Time. Welcome in to Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley is with us. We've had so many technical problems, but fear not. Frank has been keeping us entertained by giving us lovely, intricate stories about the French weather. Fascinating it has been.
Hope these questions are good. It's taken long enough.
I know. It's taken a long time, isn't it? Shaka, do you think Zidane kept Hazard on the pitch for the whole game because Hazard was so invisible that Zidane actually forgot that Hazard was still on the field?
There's every single chance that he just forgot. That's but it. Saying that, Hazard was no more invisible than anybody else, in all honesty. Real Madrid was so poor, it's hard to understand or even try to explain.
Although, with Hazard's look these days, it's difficult to miss him. Meanwhile, Frank, do you think PSG could have reached the final with Tuchel? And why did they sack him when he's so fantastic?
Well, no, I don't think they would have reached the final with Tuchel, because I think it's more a team problem or squad problem than a coach problem. It's hard for Pochettino to make sure that all players stick to his ideas and the tactic, and mostly most players, they do what they want to do. That's the difference with Chelsea players, who I think listen to their coach, and it's why Tuchel achieved something better than Paris Saint-Germain so far. That's what it is, I think.
Get ready for this, Craig. Which defender had the better season? 2018-19 Van Dijk, or 2020-21 Ruben Dias?
Ooh.
Ooh la la.
Oh.
I would say, I don't know.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to say Van Dijk.
Right.
Because Man City have been over the line before without Dias.
Yep.
Domestically. Liverpool had not for, they just couldn't get over the line. They couldn't, they got close now and again, but just not enough. And he just, along with Alisson coming in clearly, but he was the final piece in the jigsaw. And that's why, whereas Dias might be the final piece in the jigsaw for the Champions League for them, but they've won the Premier League.
Yep.
A few times without him. So, good question, that, actually, but I'm going to say just Van Dijk.
Frank, do you agree with your defensive ways?
I have to agree in the way Van Dijk brought a huge impact for Liverpool. But having said that, I would say that Ruben Dias made such a difference to Manchester City defence. So, there's a slight plus for Van Dijk in that question.
Right. Yeah. Shaka, who's been a more disappointing signing over the years for both La Liga giants? Coutinho for Barcelona or Hazard for Real Madrid?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. Right now, I'm thinking Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
At least Coutinho was fit enough to loan out. I'm not sure who's going to take on. Who's going to take on this version of Eden Hazard?
Yes.
Right. Read this next question, Craig.
Okay.
Okay. Is it going to come out? There it is.
My eyes are not great. Right. What's call the grammar, please.
That's spelling.
What's with Craig's pronunciation of hyperbole? And why didn't you correct him on it?
So how do you say it?
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
What, how do you say it?
I don't know, I think I would say hyperbole. How would you say it, Shaq? Hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
Oh.
Oh yeah, we, oh yeah. No, no, we've never used it.
I would have said hyperbole.
Yeah, you yeah, know. Actually, yeah,
I've heard
some say hyperbole, but I've always, we're the part of the world we're in, we've always said hyperbole.
Oh, Shaq, how would you say it?
I can safely say I have never used that word in my life.
No, I don't think I have.
Which word?
Yeah, which word, Shaq?
Which word and what were you going to say? I mean,
well, which word and which word happened to use it?
To be fair, Shaq doesn't use any words with more than six letters.
Wow.
In France, we say.
And Stevie.
In case you will be interested,
how
we say that word in French, we say hyperbole.
Why have you got your chin up like that?
Why is your chin so high?
Why is your chin so high? What, have you had a...
Hyperbole!
Have you had some sort of facelift or something?
Hyperbole.
In the last 5 minutes?
Just a bit.
Hyperbole!
See that? So yeah, hyperbole.
Steve Martin! Hyperbole! Hyperbole!
When you speak French, you've got to stick your chin up more.
Hey.
Good game. Heads up.
There we go.
Hyperbole.
We would say hyperbole, wouldn't we?
I think so. I don't think
hyperbole.
I don't think I would use that word.
What's Sorry, going on?
I don't know.
What is going on?
Hyperbole. Hold on. Bimobile, Robin. If you're going to put a, at least put what's.
Yeah,
not
put a H in there.
What's.
Okay.
Grammar.
If Chelsea.
Grammar.
Craig.
Yes.
Won the FA Cup and Champions League, or Manchester City win the Carabao Cup and Premier League, which one has had a better season?
It's got to be Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah? I don't think there's too much argument about that.
Chelsea, yeah, most surprising season. You know, at the end of the day, you always want to win your league, but, you know, Champions League after where they were, Chelsea.
Frank, if Chelsea win the FA Cup, the Champions League and France win the Euros, does Kante get FIFA Best Player of the Year or the Ballon d'Or?
I do not like individual awards.
No, I don't like. But for once, I will be very happy to see a defensive midfield player getting an award instead of Jürgen Klinsmann and Ali Moreno, you know, groups of friends at front.
Right.
So, I would say that would be very nice for Kante to win it.
Yeah.
But again, I don't care about Ballon d'Or. I give a stuff like Craig Burley would say.
Yes. No, I like it now.
Yes.
I love the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, you like it now?
Yeah.
Just to go against you, Frank.
Oh, no, come on.
Fantastic, Frank.
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, John knows love it. Oh, my God.
That's the Scottish war.
Oh, 478. Yeah.
No, but really, really, Dan.
Yes, mate.
Dan, seriously.
Why
seriously,
laughing,
if they don't give the Ballon d'Or, if Chelsea win the FA Cup and the Champions League,
yes,
and if France win the Euro and they don't give the Ballon d'Or to N'Golo Kante,
yeah,
I think I go to the ceremony and I burn the trophy.
Good.
Because it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Take some burning, wouldn't it?
So you got to pull him up on that. Why didn't you correct him on that?
On which bit?
Is it ceremony or ceremony?
Oh, thanks. It says second language.
Yes.
He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah, but it's overall, like I would say,
give
if you take it as an hyperbole, you know.
Yeah.
The
big chin in the air.
Ballon d'Or.
He's on that laughing gas again.
Ballon d'Or.
Ballon d'Or. I can't stand the freaking thing.
Really?
Who created that stupid award?
Oh, the French.
The Ballon d'Or.
It was the French, wasn't it, Frank?
No.
I know. Arrogant French.
It was the keepers.
Arrogant French people.
Yeah.
No, yeah, what have we been told?
I'm right. So proud of my country.
Let's move on. Shush. Did Zizou overthink this? Shush, everyone.
This is France. France, who created it.
We know. We've already
France
done that.
Created
Don't say
it.
Anything. Fucking be quiet. Move
what
on.
What the hell's wrong with him tonight?
It's late, isn't it? He's had so much wine.
He's on the cuckoo juice.
Right. Did Zizou overthink this one, Craig? Of course, Chelsea were phenomenal, but Madrid just seemed flat.
Yeah, I never got to play with the back three in both games. Maybe it was a personnel issue. But maybe it was trying to match up with Chelsea in some sense because that's the way they play. But I just think it did not suit them. It left too many holes at the back.
Yeah.
There was people that didn't understand their jobs properly. And I don't think it helped the middle of the park either. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it was a personnel thing and that's all he felt he could utilise.
You're utilising those glasses well to try and make yourself look smarter. And flicking them around.
I think it's quite difficult to make myself look smarter.
Chewing on the frame.
Oh. Well, somebody's got to do it because my dog does it all the time.
Well, good, right. That's,
what? Over the two legs.
What are you laughing at?
Which side?
Freaking Poppy, I'm telling you what. Freaking Poppy is going to get on that dining table again.
Right, okay, right. Over the two legs, which side dominated their opponents more, Chelsea or City?
It's got to be Chelsea, yeah, Frank?
Chelsea?
Yeah.
Chelsea, of course.
You haven't said anything for a while.
I think the first half of the first leg is Paris Saint-Germain-City. I think Paris Saint-Germain were very dominant. And for 30 minutes in the second leg also, where for 180 minutes, Chelsea were dominant against Real Madrid.
We know what it takes now, Shaka, for Werner to score. The ball must be on the goal line and there must be no defenders in front of it.
And no goalkeeper.
No, perfect. We found his strong point.
Yeah. To be fair, if he'd have missed that.
Yeah, you said that, Jim.
If he'd have missed that, it'd have just been right off.
Yeah,
get off,
it.
Go home.
Oh, yes.
But sometimes it's just, I mean, it's going that way. It's hard to fathom any way he could have missed it, but I mean, I'm saying when players go through those periods, if he'd have missed that,
yeah.
would have had to have contacted Jürgen, got him straight on, and said, right, tell us. And America would have went, into
meltdown
because, and Pulisic is on the bench.
Yes.
Oh.
No. Okay.
Meltdown.
Right, I think we're it. Final question. Who does Dan like more, Mason Mount or Phil Foden?
Who does Dan like more?
Yes.
I like Phil Foden more, actually.
Phil Foden. Yeah, Foden.
I don't like the way Mason Mount takes Christian Pulisic's spot in the Chelsea team.
So you've become very Americanized.
That's it. I don't think it's
You're just trying one of these guys like me that just tries to fit in.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, I think...
I just try and fit in and go with the flow.
Are you going to go hyperbole now for the future?
Well, it's a very big word, but I have many bigger ones.
Really? Like what?
I'm saving.
I'd like to hear some of your big words.
Profligate.
Oh, you licked your lips before you said that. I'm excited.
Profligate is just one of many. I ordered books at home.
You order books?
From Amazon that are... terminology and words.
Right, dictionaries.
To enhance a conversation, in some sense. Which is not difficult in this environment, I have to admit.
Frank, would you like to end with a word?
Muppet.
Yes, I like to use the word altruism.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. Because we're talking about football and collective, and I like the altruism of Chelsea tonight.
Oh, beautiful.
That's it.
Shaka, your word of the
goodbye.
Day?
goodbye.
Right, good. That's an excellent word.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Thank you.
Bonsoir. We are done. That is it. What are you looking up, Craig?
Long words, but I'm killed. I'm not actually scared to say any of them in case they have a rude meaning that I don't know. For that reason, I'm going to shut up.
Supercalifragilistic.
No, I'm not going to say any of these words.
Anti-disestablishment aerialism.
I don't know what
right,
they mean.
That is it. Goodness me, that went on.
Hyperbole,
there we are. It's exciting, isn't it? Go home, just keep saying that to yourself.